Hello, welcome, greetings, salutations. Derek, I've been trying my hardest to figure out a famous athlete that wears jersey 38 because this is episode 38. I think I'm going to go with, I believe I'm correct in this, former Heisman winner, New Orleans Saints running back George Rogers.
Okay. 85?
Huh?
Did he win the
Heisman?
No,
he won 38. He wore 38.
Yeah, but did he win the Heisman 85? Nebraska? No. George Rogers?
No. 85 was Bo Jackson.
Who was the running back from Nebraska?
Mike Rozier.
Okay, that's who I'm confusing.
83.
South Carolina?
South Carolina, George Rogers.
Okay.
1980.
Starting to come back to me a little bit.
And then New Orleans.
That's more your heyday than mine. So give me a little bit of credit.
No, I think he was 38. And he's kind of obscure, but I think he's 38. But nonetheless, thank you for tuning in here to Query and Schultz on the ISC Sports Network. My name is Jake Query. That is Derek Schultz. And this is probably my favorite show of the year because it's the one show where I am completely dialed in.
Yeah, that is kind of true. This is also, you know, coincidentally, one of my favorite days of the year because it stinks that the month of May is officially over and I took down the race flag last night. But the best thing about the month of May being over is that I can go 11 months without hearing how great you are from every single person that ever talks
to me.
Come
on now.
So that's nice.
That does happen all year long.
But especially in May. My God.
Really?
I got a direct message two nights ago. So, you know, race night that, hey, Jake did just an amazing job in turn three and those guys put on such a great broadcast. And I'm like, thanks. At Jake Query, if you would like to tweet Jake, let me know. Like, I was all excited because I accept all DMs,
right.
But I have to accept the request, right? So I get this, you know, it's usually fans. You know, sometimes it's females and I have to say, hey, whoa, happily married. Thanks.
Okay.
But I appreciate it. And, you know, I click accept and then it's this whole thing about you. Like, it was way longer than that. But the gist of it was Jake did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no mention of me at all.
You didn't forward this to me.
There was no mention of me at all.
You
get enough of it.
Necessary to share it with
no,
me?
No, you get enough of it.
The 105th running of the Indianapolis 500-mile race is in the books and it is historic because Elio Castroneves becomes, of course, the fourth four-time winner. Derek, I thought all the way, you know, this feels, to be honest, kind of like when we did the show after Indianapolis hosted a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, man, that was a home run, like, in every area. The weather was perfect, you know, everything. The same, to me, seems true with the Indianapolis 500. And the crowd was massive. I was surprised by that. And I totally get that there are people that are going to want to wait a few weeks before we completely crown that it was a success. You know, once we kind of get an idea if there was any issue with that. I understand that. But the weather was spectacular, and the right guy won the race. And by that I mean, not because it's Castroneves and it was historic, but if you look at this race and you watched it or you were there, then you know there were pockets of leader groups. Castroneves was the one driver that ran with every leader. He never fell out of, like, except for when he pitted, you know, the top five or six all day.
Yeah.
He was there all day long.
Yeah, he was creeping, as they say, not in a weird way, but in a good way.
Right.
And then finally made the pass of Pelot on the main straight with two to go. Was that right? Or three to go?
I always get confused.
I think it was two to go. Yeah, I think it was with two to go. And then obviously held them off for the win. You're right. It was the perfect storyline. Because no offense to Alex Pelot, we don't really know Alex Pelot
right.
yet. This was kind of our second introduction into Alex Pelot. We don't really, with Takuma Sato and Scott Dixon, we don't really have anything left to squeeze out of that
that's
orange.
Fair.
You know what
not
I mean?
Much
like,
left to say.
Yeah, there's not really, and Takuma Sato, give him credit for handling it with grace and humility, but he's not the most energetic, you know, beloved driver out there like Elio is. And so I just thought that this was perfect for the return of the race, because that's really what this was. No offense to last year, it counts in the record books. That was not the Indianapolis 500. It was in August. There were no fans there. Nothing about that outside of the fact that it can call itself the Indianapolis 500 was the Indianapolis 500.
Right.
So after a two-year wait, this was a return of the race. And to have the fans come back and to be able to celebrate one of the most popular drivers in that oval's history was special.
Now, did you go to the race?
I was unable to. I made kind of a last-second, kind of black flagged it at the last second, if you will, because I was planning to go. The air in the tires of my bike were all filled up. I had a credential.
You were going with who?
Myself.
Okay.
Yeah, I ride my bike to the race. And since I've been lucky enough to have a media credential, I've just gone and sat in the
media center.
Takes
how long to ride your bike there?
35 minutes.
It's not bad.
No, getting back is a lot tougher. I think we talked about this on last week's show because of the trash and people and the massive humanity that are
by
trying
trash
to
you mean the disposed of cans or the people?
Oh, the disposed of cans as well. Okay. Yeah, that's another no I meant trash. Like yes, the disposed of cans. But my son got sick, and he never gets sick. He threw up for the first time since he was a little baby, like 4 or 5 months old. And instead of dumping him off on my parents, I just decided, yeah, you know what, I'm gonna stay with him and watch on live TV, which was nice to not have the blackout.
You didn't listen to the race?
Yeah, no, I listened to a bit of it. Yeah, and you guys did a great job. I didn't watch the TV coverage really at all. It was all radio for me. Sorry, I misspoke.
Fair enough. A lot to get to today.
No, you guys seriously do a great job, but I do like having the visual. I know a lot of people sync it up, but I'm too stupid to do that.
I wouldn't be able to do that either. I wouldn't figure it out. A lot to get to today, including our Winner's Drink Milk from the American Dairy Association Winner of the Week. We have our Love That Play brought to you by Love Heating and Cooling, love-hvac.com. Of course, Beiter Bolscholtz, brought to you by The Shop Indy. And Derek, actually, we should mention also the American Dairy Association of Indiana. Once again, really good to us, really loyal to us, having us come out last week and MC their fastest rookie luncheon, which was Pietro Fittipaldi. And then Scott McLaughlin joined us as well, whose mother grew up on a dairy farm in New Zealand. But it was fun for those. For that group to have us out, and they've been really good to us. And Pietro Fittipaldi was cool about it.
Yeah, really nice, humble guys. Both of those drivers are very talented. I mean, Scott McLaughlin especially, I think, is a name that you're going to have to watch out for in this series because he can really
rookie
drive.
Of the year.
And he had a nice day on Sunday for the most part. You know, he had something happen, I think, in the pits, maybe a speeding penalty.
Late in the race,
that kind of short-circuited what could have been a top 10 for him, which for any rookie – if you're going to finish top 10, that's a good day for you, outside of winning it outright like Rossi was able to do. But I saw Jill and Tim, the two milk presenters in Victory Lane, and
Jill
they
did
a great job. Yeah, they did a great job. Both of those dairy farmers, great representatives of the larger amount of hundreds and hundreds of dairy farmers here in this great state of ours.
You know, Elio Castroneves, by the way, selected 2% for his milk. They did give bottles of strawberry milk upon request for Meyer Shank Racing because it's a pink car. And a pink bottle. But Castroneves, I figured out, Derek, the kind of stuff that you love. Fitting that he had 2% milk because he has won 2.8% of the Indianapolis 500.
I like that
500.
Tweet. Yeah, I usually don't like your tweets like that, but that was a good one. And how about Meyer Shank Racing? The little engine that could, huh? I mean, they can't even field a full-time entry, and to have Elio kind of fall into their lap like this and then win the biggest race. I know it's a lighter check than normal, but $1.8 million is going to go a long way for that team.
Look, here's the thing with Meyer Shank Racing. Michael Shank is a great guy, and he is a driver that has run in the IndyCar series, you know, way back when he was driving, but for the most part a sports car guy. And he had success as a sports car owner but said, I want to get into the IndyCar series. And this is what I love about him. He selected Jack Harvey as his driver, and Jack Harvey was coming off of a couple of runner-up seasons in Indy Lights. And Michael Shank said, this is my guy. And they started out in year one, and they did like 5 races. I'm going to be a little off on the numbers here, but like 5 races with Jack Harvey. And then in year two, they said, okay, this year we're going to do like 10. And then they said, okay, now we're going to go full-time. So they did it incrementally. They never overexerted themselves, overextended themselves. Then he hooks up with Meyer, who is the former CEO of Sirius XM Radio, and you get that sponsorship. And so they go full season with Jack Harvey with – that Sirius XM sponsorship, and then that parlays also into bringing in AutoNation. And Michael Shank took a chance. Hey, you know what? Let me see if I have enough dollars I can squeeze out to get a second car and go with Elio Castroneves for one race. And then before the Indy 500, it's announced, no, he's actually going to end up doing 5 more, but the one race. And Castroneves had options and said, that's the team I want to go with, and it's a great story. Elio Castroneves becomes the first driver in the history of autosport to win the 24 Hours Rolex of Daytona and the Indy 500 in the same season, in the same calendar year. So it's a great story, no doubt about it. But we've got all kinds of, like, things that we have become accustomed to giving out about the race, right? Like awards.
Yeah, one of my favorite texts with you, and we have a lot of, you know, friend texts that I'm not going to divulge on the air here because that's just, you know, conversations between two best friends.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite post-race texts are the Mr. Irrelevant and the he finished where? Because there's always somebody during the race. You know, 33 entries is a lot.
Correct.
There's always somebody during the race that after 3 hours you're like, I did not see them or hear their name entire day.
I have two that come to mind.
I think you could argue for like five or six when I was really looking at it. And then when you looked at the finishing grid and you saw, well, this person was P4 or P8.
Right.
And you're thinking, where did they even come from? I think there are a couple of candidates for that as well.
Okay, you want to give those out now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, because I will say this. I'm calling the race. I'm up in turn number three. And it's really hard to explain. I'm sure the same is true, like, for, you know, just when you're in the stands and you're watching the race, because that's basically what I am, is just somebody in the stands watching the race. And as the cars come by in packs, there's always one or two that jump out at you, and you keep seeing them. I kept seeing Simona DiSilvestro. Every time I look down, like, there's DiSilvestro.
She was having a nice day until that pit issue. Day. Everybody had a
Steph
nice day.
Wilson,
there was
and
three
Will
incidents.
Power, yeah. had the pit issues. But so I kept seeing her, and every time I saw her, she was seemingly battling with somebody who is going to be one of my awards here, so I won't say their name just yet. The two drivers that I never saw, I mean, literally after the race, I looked and I said, if I saw their car, I don't remember seeing it. Couldn't even tell you what color it was. Pietro Fittipaldi.
Yeah. No, same thing.
Where did he finish?
P25 or something, somewhere in there, somewhere in the
mid 20s.
I mean,
that's, you know, for a rookie, fine. Sure,
yeah.
Right.
Whatever, he had a clean day.
The other one, and this guy has become, I think, for like, excluding his rookie year, every year this guy is this guy. And I thought, you know what, he's going to go out and turn 200 clean laps and bring the car home like 15th. J.R. Hildebrand.
Yeah.
He had a nice run.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Went out solid. Now, J.R. Hildebrand, I believe, got the smallest check of the field. Like 100 grand because he's not a full-time driver.
Oh, okay.
But those are my two. I never saw him all day long.
My two are much bigger names than both of those guys.
Can I guess?
Yeah. This one guy, the last 5 or 6 years, you could give him this award every year because when he was still running full-time in the series, it was just like Sunday. He's just out there. He's not relevant, but he's just turning laps.
Was he relevant last year or
August? He was relevant before the race, and then the race started, and then he stopped being relevant almost immediately.
It's got to be Marco Andretti.
Yeah. You just don't even think about him. And it's too bad because he really did. He had a lot of podiums. You picked him to win the race a bunch, and it felt like he was knocking on the door. But ever since about 2014 or 2015, you could basically pencil Marco in for like a 14th, 18th place finish right in this race. The other one's real popular. And a friendly, you know, a guy that I was hoping was going to get back into contention here.
I think you mentioned this to me, Hinchcliffe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think about him. I didn't. He wasn't.
I mean, that,
you know who else, even though he ended up with a top 10, who I really thought was going to contend for the win and was never in contention was Kanaan.
Yeah. Where did Kanaan finish?
Ninth, I think.
All I knew about Kanaan was this. I said to Nick Yeoman before the race, I said, look, we got to make sure that Steph Wilson and Kanaan are never on the track together because their cars looked identical.
Oh, yeah.
They were both like the same. Like when you're up high.
That's a problem.
You're,
yeah.
You're trying to call it. Oh my, there's always a driver that just their car, you know, I can't go. Who is that? And those two gave me fits. Now, in terms of the they finished where award.
There are two really. That.
Well, a couple jump out to me. Okay, of the two you're thinking of, are they typically and traditionally relevant?
No. One of them is too young to make that determination, who's actually run well here, but not a guy that you would have expected has run well here, given his reputation in the series.
Is he full-time?
Yeah.
A young guy with the reputation of not running well.
Not that he doesn't run well, not a great reputation. A guy who, you know how you always ask drivers, hey, who do you not want to be next
to? Are you sure he's full-time?
Because you're worried. I think he is, isn't he? Is Ferrucci not full-time?
He is not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's a good.
Yeah.
Ferrucci, man. What did he finish, sixth?
Three races, three top tens for Ferrucci in the 500. Yeah. And I don't think anybody – look, don't get me wrong. I don't think anybody's ever questioned his talent.
And
the guy clearly can drive. It's just that, you know, he's a little aggressive.
I can say this now because the race is over. Did that with a fracture. Hairline. I mean, like a small, but a fracture.
you know, turning 200 laps with any kind of pain. My God, just the endurance of that. And then the obvious one is Karam. Even though I always pay attention to Sage because he's one of my personal favorites. I always root for him. He does every interview. Every time that I turn on a TV in the month of May or listen to the radio, Sage Karam is talking to somebody. Yeah. And I've always appreciated that about him, and I felt terrible for him after the Justin Wilson incident, which he blamed himself for a long time. And I just think – I think he's a good dude. I like Blattler and some of the other people that have been associated with his team.
No, it's very likable.
And it was great. Because, you know, he had that great first run, and then ever since then, he had either crashed out or finished poorly. And to come back with a top 10, I think, was nice to see him come
full
circle.
That was an impressive run. Now, when I mentioned earlier Simona DiSilvestro, every time I saw Simona on the track, she was side-by-side with Sage Karam.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they ran together for a lot of laps. Karam is the clear-cut answer here. Ferrucci's a great call, too. Another one that you just kind of didn't talk about all day, and then was Simon Pagenaud.
Yeah. I mean, you started talking about him late in the race.
He was,
where you're like, oh, wait a minute.
He was kind of on the charge there. If it had been the Indianapolis 550, he may win the thing, right?
And somebody else, Montoya, somehow finished ninth. That was another guy, kind of Mr. Irrelevant. I didn't think or hear about all day, and he ended up scoring.
I felt like with Montoya, after the second pit stop, you had to look to see where he was, and if he was moving up the chart at all and was interested, he was going to have a good finish, and that's what happened. If he would have gone out there and in the first two stints not been able to make up ground, he'd have said, and finished 23.
Yeah, to me, one of the really big storylines of the day, and it was surprising, was how many of the veterans and the guys on great teams that you expect to run well self-destructed. Like Dixon with that mistake, Rossi with his mistake, Power. God, Rahal drove off on three wheels. It's like, what are you guys doing?
I don't know that Dixon and Rossi made a mistake, Derek, as much as just...
I just meant overall the team and everybody to have crippling mistakes.
In their situation, it was terrible luck. Now, they did have the situation... What happened with Rossi and Dixon, as I understand it, is, you know, they're going out there and they need fuel. So they're out on the track. They need fuel. They know they got to come into pit. And then Steph Wilson has the incident in the pits and spins it. They close the pits. So Dixon and Rossi both are out there behind the pace car, but they're on fumes. So when they came in to pit, they had run out of fuel. So not only were they – so as they came in, they both – the engine died because they were out of fuel.
Oh, gotcha.
So they had to go get the starter and restart the car.
I thought they had just kind of overdone it.
No,
I should have never assumed that with Dixon, because if there's anybody that is on his fuel, it's that team.
What Dixon did that was brilliant was – so that kills Dixon and Rossi's day for the most part. Dixon then late in the race on the last – and when I say stint, folks, what I mean is the period of time between pit stops.
34, 35 laps, whatever it is for most.
So Dixon, his second-to-last stint, what would be that, he's out there, and I looked at one point, and he's behind Dalton Kellett. And kudos to Dalton Kellett, who kind of gets knocked around as the guy that's just, you know, a field filler. Look, he went out there. He kept it clean. He kept his nose clean, brought the car home 25th or whatever. Kudos to him. So I was watching Dixon, and he's behind Dalton Kellett. And they come by again, and he's behind Dalton Kellett. And they come by again, and he's behind Dalton Kellett. And I thought, you know what? He's making fuel. He's saving fuel.
Dalton Kellett can tell his grandkids that Scott Dixon drafted on me.
Right.
Like in the Indy 500.
For like five laps. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, if he's not passing Dalton – Scott Dixon can pass Dalton Kellett if he wants to. Mm. He didn't do it. And then I realize he is saving fuel so that he does not have to make a final pit stop.
Yeah.
So when everybody is coming in for their last splash of fuel and he stays out there, he's moving from 30th to 29th. 28th, boom, double points race. He ends up 17th or whatever it was. A quiet 17th, but a 17th. Double points. Pays in the end.
Yeah.
You know, Rossi ended up down towards the bottom on pit sequence.
I prefer to have clean racing, and we had a lot of green flag racing. But I did feel for, you know, under different circumstances, guys like Dixon, maybe less so Rossi because his day just never really got off the ground. They needed a yellow to come out, and it
Correct.
Just never happened.
Correct.
You know, you just if you
fastest
were
fastest race in
yeah,
history.
If you were relying on a caution to come out, you were screwed.
Well, late in the race, Rosenquist and Sato were waiting on that caution,
and it just never came.
Never came, and so finally, you know, you got to go ahead and pit. A lot to talk about with this, and we'll talk about other sports as well as we get into now NBA playoffs. And, of course, the racing season, a week off before it heads to Belle Isle. But still plenty to talk about with the 105th Indy 500 as well. It is Query and Schultz. You're watching it here on ISC Sports Network.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
Indiana dairy farmers provide us with safe, pure foods for our tables. A responsibility that takes intuition, resolve, and determination to make sure their milk is good for you and delicious to taste. Their connection with our community runs deep, passed down through the generations, ensuring that milk is always available at your store. It's not easy being a dairy farmer, but the rewards have special meaning when you can feed Indiana's families every single day. Learn more at winnersdrinkmilk.com.
At Bailey & Wood, we pride ourselves on our five-star customer service. But at our core, we're a family. Family-owned and family to our customers, staff, and our community. From charity events to recognizing hometown heroes, we prioritize giving back to our communities that have always supported our growth. So let us help you get your dream home today.
ISC Sports Network.
What's going on here? What is happening?
You know, I come from we come from a radio background where we have like 6 or 7 minute commercial breaks. I mean, you could like sneak a nap during our commercial
breaks. Which I did
breaks.
A lot.
And now you've got like 90 seconds. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes 2 minutes if you're lucky. So I had to hustle back into.
You know, we could change that, Derek, if we could get if more people would be advertising on this fine program, right? Derek is the guy to call.
No,
right?
Actually, I've had to turn away advertisers because so many people have demanded it and I want to have time. This is by design, but the problem is that it's
you're
kind of
turning away people that want to spend money on us.
Well, yeah, because I want more content for us to hang out and talk because I don't get to see you every day anymore. So I miss you.
You
want to make sure I can talk to you.
Dumbest businessman I've ever met in my life.
Yeah. Dumb like a fox because we have a core of very,
okay,
very passionate and talented advertisers, including Bailey & Wood Financial Group.
You remember when we got blown out at iHeart and I came to you and I said, man, this is a bummer deal, but the good news is, you know, through negotiations, we're taken care of for a while. And you said, yep, I get paid for 2 weeks. I said, you're not a very good business.
I don't like
person.
You sharing the details of my severance publicly. Okay. So maybe we can go ahead and grab that in post. We'll come right back. 3, 2, 1. Like Bailey & Wood Financial Group, who just came on last month with us. BAWFG.com. So Bailey & Wood Financial Group, just the first letters of all of those five words there. And you can also call them at 855-350-HOME. Five-star customer service. 13
Indiana
branches.
You
got to
repeat that number. You said that way too fast.
855-350-HOME. H-O-M-E.
Okay.
Mike Wood and his crew do a great job for you. Look, if you're in the market right
the
now for a house.
855, people will remember.
Okay. Can I?
350.
Can I do this?
Is the key number there. Because home, people remember. Yeah. 855, they're not going to forget.
Mm-hmm.
Home, they're not going to forget. 350 right in the middle. The key number. 350.
350.
855-350.
Yes.
Home.
I think most people just go online now. Like people like you call because you're old, but most people
855 350.
You have the option to call, but home. You don't have to call.
Okay.
Mike Wood and his group, BAWFG.com.
Okay.
Going to take care of you just like they took care of me. When my wife and I bought a house in 14, we needed to get pre-approved. And we did so through Mike and Bailey & Wood Financial Group down in their Whiteland branch when we were down in the South Side. Yeah, just
B-A-W-F-G.
Can we just mute his mic, Jordan, while we do this? We don't even have to go split screen. You can just go on the me. We don't need Jake to be a part of this. Okay. Jake is now muted, so nobody is actually hearing you right now. Indiana's hometown mortgage leader, BAWFG.com.
I just said that.
855-350-HOME. Nobody can hear you. 13 Indiana branches and expanding. Pre-approval, refinance, anything involving your home, mortgage, go ahead and give them a call.
Okay.
Bailey & Wood Financial Group. All right, go ahead and turn that back on. 3, 2, 1. All right, you're good.
BawFG.com.
You know, something else
BawFG.com.
That I wanted to share, because I don't think I was really aware of this story. And I saw you tweet about it last night, actually just kind of like whatever, you know, to somebody who had tweeted you about Elio's win. I did not know that Elio was the first driver to reach out to you when you had your heart attack in October. I guess I never asked you who the first. I knew drivers had reached out to you, but I didn't know Elio was literally the first one.
So, in fairness, actually, I did get a text from Kanaan that was really funny that said, back of the field for unlicensed engine change, which was pretty good. It was solid. In terms of a long conversation, early this winter, IndyCar had kind of like a winter, the winter meetings, if you will, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, where each driver came in, and for those of us that had to record things, radio network was there, TV, like, you know, when you see like the GIFs of the different drivers, when all that's recorded. And I went as a representative of the radio network just to get drivers to record different liners and things like that. And I made no mention of it. And I mean, several guys came through. Hey, what's going on? What's up? Do our thing. On about their way. Castroneves came in the room, Derek, and walked in and sat down. And he, you know, they were, those guys were going through like in 10 minute intervals. And we spent all 10 minutes talking about him asking about my heart. And, you know, I mean, he had mentioned like prayer that he had for me. And he was very concerned about my signs, you know, what, I mean, just a very genuine, long, heartfelt, pardon the pun, conversation. And he had said, hey, I sent you a message when that happened, but I didn't have your phone number. And he felt bad about that he didn't have my number. And I mean, it was very genuine. It was very, very genuine. And so, when Castroneves won the race, that all kind of – I never really had like any sort of a – I mean, I've talked a lot, obviously, ad nauseum about the fact that I had a heart attack.
So have others, yeah.
but the doctor that performed my angioplasty was my spotter. And so he was up in the perch with me, and there was a symbolism there for sure. And we had a pretty interesting conversation about all of that up in the perch during the race during a lull. But when Castroneves won – then it all kind of came to me. And seeing him go out and watching him celebrate, when Mark James came to me for an observation, I mentioned it. And it is never our job to put ourselves in the story that we're talking about, but we were asked for a personal reflection. And so that was the personal reflection that I shared. And I admittedly, for the first time in my broadcast career, got relatively emotional in doing so. Because Dr. Mottman was up there with me and Castroneves is climbing the fence. It was just very fitting.
Yeah.
But he is, because people ask all the time, especially because he's been around for 20 years, hey, what's Elio really like? What's Elio really like? That's what he is really like, 100%. And that was my example of how, yes, in fact, Elio Castroneves is the real deal.
I believe it's either the Old Timers Club or maybe it's IMS and related with Donald Davidson. They ask you to do, I think for the 100th running, you did like the field of 33. So the 33
Correct.
Greatest drivers.
Correct.
And it's, for the most part, an individual sport. I get that there's a team involved and a pit crew and all of that. But I've always kind of treated racing like golf, like individuals, you know, unlike Super Bowls, like Tom Brady has this many rings, so he's automatically better than this person or this. You know what I mean? Like, I don't usually count it like that. But Elio winning the fourth, does it make him the fourth best driver? Because I don't think, as great as Elio is, I don't think people would put him in front of Al Senior or Rick or AJ. But does it make him above
it puts
Bobby Unser, Mario, you know, some of the others?
It's a fabulous question. There are two groupings that you have. One is who are the best race car drivers to have driven at Indianapolis.
Sure.
And the other is who are the best drivers at Indianapolis?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ari Leidach's one of the best ever at IMS. The totality of his career is not on par with the others in that same breath.
And that's kind of what I'm looking for.
Right. I would say this. In terms of overall, Castroneves and, say, a Bobby Unser or Johnny Rutherford, Louis Meyer. mean, those guys.
Dario, right?
Dario. But Dario's in the same category as Castroneves in this regard. Dario probably would have won four had he been healthy. But the difference between Castroneves and, say, Bobby Unser. Bobby Unser won three Indy 500s, Derek, but he did it basically while driving in a complete evolution period of cars. So he's driving, starting out in roadsters, and then he's doing, you know, front engines, and he's doing ground effect cars, and he's doing all kinds of different things. Castroneves, for the most part, with the exception of the fact that he ran like a Panos or a G-Force chassis, but for the most part, especially from 2012 till now, basically the same car year in and year out. So there's a familiarity with that car.
Yeah.
That's no knock on him, because you're only responsible for the era that you're in, right? But you can say that the versatility, there was more opportunity to show off versatility for other guys than for Castroneves. But there's no doubt now. I mean, he's on the Mount Rushmore, right? You have your four.
Yeah, you have your four. I think you do, just to show how hard it is. I just was surprised. And he's also won four poles. I mean, that's something else. He's second all-time in poles. And he's finished runner-up a couple of times. Yeah, 2017. He very easily could have won the race that Ryan Hunter-Reay run. And I really thought he was going to win that race. And that final pass never ended up coming. But I was actually shocked to find out.
Can you name the three drivers that he finished runner-up to? That's a great term.
Sato. Hunter-Reay.
You got it. You got it now.
Is that it? There's
one
more.
You got one more.
The other time he finished runner-up. Dario?
No. It's
07?
No.
Why was I thinking 07? 08? Did he finish runner-up? No. 06?
No.
It was some 05.
No.
Weldon. It was somewhere in the O's.
No. Uh-huh.
04?
No.
Well, he started 02, 03. 03.
Correct.
He finished runner-up. Okay.
Nice. Way to go.
Jill DeFerrin?
Yes.
Okay.
So he was leading DeFerrin. He was leading DeFerrin, and Elio came up on the lapped car of AJ Foyt the fourth and got checked up, and DeFerrin passed him.
Gotcha.
And won the race.
Okay. I should have known that, because that was my first of the Coklot campout Indy 500.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, that might be why you don't remember it as well.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I might have been smoking a cigarette, even though they allowed those in the grandstands then, so you could just light up right there.
Did they not know?
I don't know why I did. It's really inconsiderate to do that. No, you can't smoke in the grandstands at all. You have to go in the infield, which was closed. So I don't know what cigarette smokers did at the track.
I did, by the way, on race morning. Dr. Mottman and I came up to do a radio show, and Tony Katz was there, and he was smoking a cigar. And Tony Katz said, "Hey, do you want a cigar?" And I said, "I can't, man. A cardiologist says no." And he goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, my cardiologist, who's standing right here, says I can't have a cigar." And Tony Katz goes, "It's overrated."
Well, he knows your backstory, because he sent out a tweet, I remember.
Yeah.
Like, you know, thoughts with Jake Query and all that.
Katz is a nice guy. Yeah. But I was like, come on, man. I think I'm going to trust nothing against Tony Katz. Yeah. He's a smart guy. When it comes to my heart, I'm going to trust the medically trained and educated cardiologist versus Tony
Look
Katz.
Look at you, Mr. Team Emmis now. Talking all glowingly about all your teammates over there. Okay, I get it. Yeah. I'm still Team I Heart. What am I talking about? No, I'm not.
Yeah. Okay. I Heart blew me out, and then my heart had went kaput. Let me ask you this, Derek. When it comes to older, this is the year of old guys.
Yep.
Tom Brady,
mm-hmm.
Phil Mickelson, Castroneves now. Maybe not the case with Castroneves, but take Phil Mickelson. Certainly Brady. And when I ask this, don't laugh. Is it possible in any way, shape, or form that the reason that we are now seeing some older guys get like this final second wind is because they're coming off of a year where the amount of practice and physical exertion required was limited by COVID? So everyone had to kind of stay away, and it allowed for more rejuvenation of the body, because you're not going out doing two-a-days and everything else.
It's an interesting question, which, you know, obviously we can't answer. There's no way of knowing.
Right.
I mean, I would lean toward it just being a coincidence, and you are still talking about three of the greatest to ever do it in their sport.
Right.
You know, Brady arguably is the greatest player ever, and a lot of people feel like he's locked that down with all the team success that he's had, and you can certainly make that argument. Mickelson is probably one of the 15 to 20 greatest golfers of all time. And Elio is one of the greatest that has ever run Indy. You know, top five, probably. I mean, he's got top four as far as victories, right? With three other guys. So I do think that maybe there is something to that, but I just wonder, Jake, if I think Jeremy Gray, a mutual friend of ours, said this after LeBron and the Lakers won, where he was like, the elite are just winning out. In these trying times right now, what you can depend on is the best of the best rising to the occasion. The Dodgers and Kershaw with the World Series win, LeBron and the Lakers, you know what I mean? It was like all the championship teams, the cream is rising to the top and championship players. And I wonder if that's an offshoot of that COVID and as we kind of exit the pandemic here.
When Mickelson won, and which was cool, I think I told you this, my thought was, I'm like, everybody was going gaga over it. And I'm like, well, didn't he just win a major like a year ago?
Yeah.
I mean, I knew it had been a couple years, but not how long had it been?
2015?
I mean, the time just flies,
I guess.
It
was a while. Yeah.
It didn't seem that long ago to me.
Well, and kind of the same situation for Mickelson was that he was never, you know, he's kind of just playing out the string. And with Elio moving off of Penske and going into sports cars, it just felt like he was gradually moving into retirement. You know what I mean? And so after he fell short in 2017 to Sato, I had just made up my mind, okay, well, that's it. He's number four is never going to come. Whereas after 2009, it felt like number four was a fait accompli. I mean, he lit the whole field on fire in 2009.
Right,
that race was a joke. You know, it was Elio one, and then everybody else felt like they were P17. That was one of the more dominant performances, certainly, that I've ever seen at the track.
Yeah, I mean, it was – that was the first year that I was in the turns, and I remember – you know, you had to have something different to say every time when they came by for the last 15 laps because
it was over.
There was nothing to call.
Yeah.
He was just clicking them off.
It was over.
Clicking
and that's something else, too, as we conclude here, I wanted to mention. I tweeted about this. I think Sunday was one of my favorite Indy 500s ever. Not because it was the best race. I think overall it was a B-plus race. Certainly wasn't a bad race. But everything around it was A-plus. The weather was A-plus. The storyline was A-plus. Everybody was happy. You know, and normally people are happy on race day, but it felt different. The vibe and the energy, and you could speak to it because you were there. It just felt different. And I would put it there with among my favorites, 05, Danica, and then Weldon winning, 13 with Kanaan, and that was the raciest race ever. I mean, there was just constant action and passing. It was crazy. And then 2016, because of the celebration of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in the race and then Rossi's win, those would be kind of my top four in whatever order you want to put them.
When Castroneves took the lead and was coming around towards the white flag, people were jumping up and down.
Yeah.
I'd never seen that. I've seen people come to their feet. I've never seen people jumping up and down. It was pretty awesome.
It was neat. It was quite the scene. I mean, nobody left after the race. Like, nobody's trying to beat the traffic. Everybody's like, I'm staying.
That's the thing I noticed when I'm like, man, look at this.
Yeah.
Like, there's still people here.
It was incredible.
You ready to drink some milk next?
Let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we've got our own Victory Lane celebration.
Did you bring strawberry milk in honor of?
No, just chocolate and 2%. I bought 2%. Elio wanted 2%. So there you go. We could put some pink stuff in there. We could see if there's some pink stuff in the fridge.
It's got to be strawberry milk, Derek. It's what the team got.
Well, I don't know if we have any fresh strawberries in the fridge. I'm sorry. Fresh organic strawberries for Jake Query. Put the thermostat at 66 degrees, please.
How'd you know that?
Come on, man. I know everything that there is to know about you. Probably too much.
Apparently.
So we'll hand out some winners next. Other storylines to get to, including, and Jake, you'll love this, fan treatment of players and the NBA playoffs, which has just been
ugly.
Way, way, way over the line. It's Query and Schultz, never stepping over the line here on ISC Sports Network.
You can't get enough of us.
You can't get enough of us. Good one, J-Man.
This is the worst scandal. This might
this
even
is
be
worse than steroid. Not so fast.
Are you going to watch the XFL?
I'll probably watch a little bit of it.
You want to go through and pick some games?
No, I don't. No, I don't. I really don't.
At an Indiana dairy farm, long work days stretch into more labor after sunset. A newborn calf needs watching. Barn needs cleaning. Tractor needs some handiwork for tomorrow's tasks. Just like in your own home, the day's chores are never done until the family beds down for the night. Dairy farmers and their families share the same dream with all of us, that what we all do is worthwhile. Bringing to market pure, safe, and healthy dairy foods is what they do. From Indiana's dairy families to ours every single day. Learn more at winnersdrinkmilk.com.
Oh, my God.
We are ripping fast today.
How hard can it be, right?
These are now selling for about $3,500. So we're back to our old ways of pulling rocks.
act like idiots on camera, open cards, and talk about the hobby.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
Warian Schultz, this post Indy 500 and transitioning into other sports like NBA playoffs edition. Derek has already started in on his milk, and who can blame him? Let's American Dairy Association of Indiana, of course, sponsoring our segment, Winners Drink Milk, Winner of the Week. And Derek, you went with 2%. Here's the chocolate milk. You have the milk facts, right?
Yeah. Let me get those. I got the milk out. I can't do everything on this show, contrary to popular belief. milk facts, as much calcium as 10 cups of raw spinach.
This
as
is
much
for
potassium
chocolate milk, right?
As a banana? Yes, what you're drinking.
Okay.
And as much vitamin A as 2 boiled eggs. Not that there's not a ton of nutrition packed in here, but specifically with chocolate milk, it's a great workout recovery drink. Winnersdrinkmilk.com if you want some more details when it comes to that.
Fabulous.
I saw Jill and Tim everywhere. They did, I think, all the local TV stations. I think they did some national stuff as well. But Jill was a great representative, and Tim will continue.
Jill, the presenter. Tim was the rookie.
Yeah.
So next year,
Tim's
Jill
a presenter.
Aside,
new
Tim
rookie.
Presents. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And hopefully it's us still doing the rookie luncheon, because I heard the people stood up in applause while watching, streaming it on their laptop.
Derek, it was virtual.
I heard we got a standing ovation. Some people felt compelled to physically stand up and applaud our performance. If you go to the American Dairy Association, Indiana Dairy on YouTube, you can rewatch that.
Did you know on the IndyCar Reddit page, there's a jQuery appreciation thread?
Ugh, Reddit's so weird.
I just thought I'd tell you that. Somebody tweeted that to me. Who is your nominee?
I know it'd be easy to go race-related, and there are a lot of people that you can choose from. There were a lot of winners on Sunday, for sure. Really, it's easier to name the winners than it is the losers, because it was a clean day. So even,
right,
you know, you had three incidents basically all day. But I'm going to go kind of outside of the Indy 500 and pick the Indy 11, because this will make Rakestraw happy. I know we barely talk soccer on here, but they beat Louisville, and Louisville's their big rival in the USL. They had a heartbreaking postseason loss to them a couple of years ago with a chance to play in the championship. Beat them 2-1 thanks to Jordan Hamilton's game-winning PK. And they call it affectionately the Louisville-Indianapolis Proximity Association Football Conference. Contest, sorry. I'm used to saying conference at the end
Can
of it.
Can you say that again,
the
please?
The LIPA FC.
Louisville-Indianapolis Proximity.
It's kind of a joke. Football contest. It's kind of a joke. They wanted to create a rivalry, and if I understand this, and Peter Evans is the former capo of the Brickyard Battalion, and I believe that
capo,
this
is that another
captain.
Acronym?
Yeah. Okay. I believe that this is correct, that they kind of wanted to tongue-in-cheek, and they may have gotten together with Louisville to do this, have a little rivalry, but it's become a very heated thing, and there were a ton of Indy 11 fans in attendance down there in Louisville for the match. And they got to see a great finish and a great win. So 3-1 now. They are
Do we have the video
a point off the top of the table.
Can we see the
in
play?
In the central standings in the USL. So good for the Indy 11.
Do we have the play?
I think we did, but it's okay. I just kind of explained everything to you. Magnificently, I might add.
Okay.
Yes.
For the LIPA.
Yeah, LIPA FC. Yeah.
You notice I'm out of milk.
Yeah, you chug that thing.
I'm going to give my Winner's Drink Milk Winner of the Week. You want to guess, Derek? It is Indy 500 related.
Connor Daly.
Did a great job. Led 40 laps, more than anybody else in the race. He now has led as many laps at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway as Jackie Stewart.
I saw.
More than Graham Hill.
The fans of the Indianapolis 500, Winner of the
also
Week.
Also a great pick, but no. You get one guess left. It's milk related as well.
I really don't know. Laura Steele for interviewing you.
No. Laura interviewed me and actually introduced me as being from MRN.
And then immediately wrapped you up right after that. Yeah.
She did wrap me
All
early,
right.
didn't
no,
she?
Let's go. Here's Jake Query. What are your thoughts on the race? Well, Laura, you know, okay, they're telling me to wrap. Come on. Let's go.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it went down. Jill Huyen, who a lot of you don't know who Jill Huyen is, and I knew I'd say the name wrong.
No, you got it right, Huyen.
Yeah, Jill Huyen is a dairy farmer from Plymouth, Indiana, and I thought was an outstanding representative not only of the American Dairy Association of Indiana, but also of the great tradition of the ice-cold bottle of milk in Victory Lane for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, because she has this great personality. She's totally fun. She was energetic, completely comfortable on camera, did all the interviews, always had a smile on her face. Derek, for somebody who is not a PR person or, you know, a public persona that's not used to being on camera or in front of microphones, I thought she was fabulous the entire month. And then on top of that, for them to honor the request of the team to have strawberry milk there so they could have pink bottles along with Castor Nevis's 2%, win-win all the way around.
Yeah, you know how sometimes there are people that you're like, if their life had gone differently, they would be doing this.
Correct.
And you just wonder if Jill was made to be in front of the camera.
No question.
Because she's so good at it.
She was really good.
Yeah, like sort of like me. Like I think in a second life, I would have been a Hollywood star. Because I'm an excellent actor. I'm obviously easy on the eyes. Okay. And I kind of have that talent where I can just kind
what
of
What eyes
improvise.
Are you easy on?
All eyes.
Okay. Okay.
That's the answer to that question.
Sure. Okay. Well, I think people want to go rinse their eyes out before we get to our next segment. Mm-hmm. Is that fair?
One of those eye washes.
What are we doing next?
Well, we're going to talk about it now. We're extending this segment. So there's a little more than just.
But that's going to look awkward with the way that I just called for the break and we didn't go to break.
All right, we'll get in post. 3, 2, 1. Easy on the eyes, if you know what I mean.
Okay, sure.
By the way, our friend Scott Agnes, who also helps us out here on IC Sports Network, he emailed me the other day and he said, hey, I just wanted to let you know at the 52-minute mark, you said you were going to get something in post, and then it actually aired. And I'm like, no, man, this is just kind of a running joke on the show.
April
the
gets
whole,
it.
Yeah, the whole get it in post sort of thing.
By the way, who's our friend in Maine?
Oh, Matthew.
Yeah.
Right? I hope I'm saying that right, because it's like the French spelling of Matthew.
Correct.
Yeah. Matthew.
Like, I just wanted to say hi. I think it's very cool that we have a viewer slash listener in Maine who I believe was just a Colts fan that came upon our show for Colts information and just really magnetized towards my personality and, you know, and liked me. And so therefore, but it's really become a good, loyal and faithful listener and viewer.
Matthew and Matthew St. Thomas, Matthew Reagan 17 on Twitter. He was really the first person after we transitioned to TV that I felt like really kind of came on board, like, oh, I'm watching every week.
And, right,
you know,
and not has.
That, you know, we had our loyal legions of listeners, hundreds and thousands of radio people that came on board too, but that's kind of how I got to know Matthew. I'm actually going out to Maine next month. We're staying for a week in York on the southern coast.
Is that where they make the peppermint patties?
We're going to go up to a gun quit and
a what?
And Kittery, go to the outlet malls in Kittery. And then we usually go to
you
Wells.
You know, they have outlet malls right down here.
Congdon's Donuts. The best thing about Congdon's Donuts. Congdon's Donuts, they say Jimmy's. You can't say, if you say you want a donut with sprinkles, they have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, of course. It's called Condoms. Of course they have Jimmy's.
No, Congdon's. Congdons. They are the best donuts in the world. Maine.
Not better than
Congdon's
Long's.
Donuts. It sounds sacrilege. I just had Long's last week. Sounds sacrilege. They are better than Long's Donuts. They're the best thing that I've ever put into my mouth before. Actually, let's get that in post, too. Let's.
It's okay. All right. Yep. You sure that you want to carry on this?
Food related. Food related. They are the best thing that I've ever.
We'd like to thank you for watching this, the 38th and final episode of Query and Schultz here on the ISC Sports Network. Again, to repeat, that's Derek Schultz. Now, I'm Jake Query, media free agent.
That was one of those things that I kind of went in slow motion for me. Like, I knew that as it was coming out that it was not the right thing to say. But, yeah, Condon's Donuts are really, really good in Wells, Maine. So, thank you, Matthew, for supporting the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
York Peppermint Patties, York, Pennsylvania, by the way.
I didn't know that.
Many people will tell you the first national capital.
Where is that Eastern PA? I've heard of York, Pennsylvania.
I believe.
Okay, Jordan is a...
Hometown of?
Middle, okay.
Hometown of?
No idea.
Former Colts coach?
I'll
give you a hint.
Oh, Bruce Arians?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't know that he was a PA guy. Yeah.
This is going to be your
head. Do people say PA? I mean, that's what we always called Massachusetts, Mass, and PA was Pennsylvania PA.
Yeah, Bradford, PA.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I said that to somebody, and they're like, what are you talking about?
What was the other thing you wanted to get to?
I wanted to get to the NBA fan stuff, because it's actually kind of overshadowed what's been a great NBA playoffs. And tonight, you've got a couple of the 2-2 series. Out west, they're all coin flips right now. In the east, you pretty much know it's going to be the Nets. The Knicks just, they don't have anything for the Hawks.
The Jazz are now up 3-1, right?
Yeah, but that's, I think the other three series, I think, are all 2-2, because the Clippers came back and won both games in Dallas. And Suns-Lakers now are 2-2 as well.
I tell you, the Suns are playing well.
I mean,
they've got some good players.
It's all about health in that series. It's been Chris Paul's hurt, and then now it's Anthony Davis's hurt, and it's just right. Kind of seemed to swing back and forth on that. But you've had now 5 incidents, Jake, in 6 days in the NBA. And last night I don't think was the biggest deal in the world. I think it was just some drunk idiot running on the court in Washington. But still, when you have something like that, like if somebody that's on the court that shouldn't be there, that's scary. I don't care totally. Who you are. I don't care if you're a 6'5", jacked up dude.
It's going to be harder to do at Bankers Life because off. The way that they've renovated the arena.
It's tough. Know. I mean, you don't know how you're going to end up reacting to something like that. So the other incidents, which are more serious, a fan in New York spit on Trae Young, which is disgusting and belittling, and you should never do. I mean, it's assault.
Right.
Russell Westbrook had popcorn thrown on him. Kyrie Irving had a bottle hurled at him. And I feel like I'm missing one. Oh, Ja Morant's family in Utah was treated to racial slurs. So, wonderful.
That's
great
been a,
job,
that's,
NBA.
And listen, my understanding is Salt Lake City is a very cool city. But those allegations have been around in Utah for a long time.
And I heard that, you know, the same thing. Remember this, the Winning Time Reggie Miller thing where the guys in the stands at MSA had the pennants up on their head and they're pointing to Spike Lee? Like, you know people – but it's sad because – not everyone in there, in fact, the vast majority in there, are just there to enjoy the game. And my opinion to this, and I know you share it, Jake, is that whether it's alcohol or whatever else, if you're a grown adult and you can't control yourself, stay home.
Right.
Don't go.
It's why, Derek, the unfortunate thing is there is this sense of entitlement among people now.
100%.
I paid my money. I should be able to go.
100%.
And so it's why people don't go to games. Yeah. The NFL and Major League Baseball now, I mean – what was I watching the other day? Like a fight, the White Sox game, and people are it's just ugly, man.
And if you want to, come up with cutesy chants, I found that stuff kind of annoying now, but whatever. Like, you're not hurting anybody.
I saw you after a couple of Manhattans getting angry and throwing stuff at the ground, but you were in the privacy of the hotel room. At the game.
No.
You were there for a game.
This is a complete fabrication of our night in New Orleans.
Teach them not to mess. Derek Schultz, you threw somebody's do not disturb sign into the ground and spiked it. You look like Gronk.
Like many, I fell into the trappings of Bourbon Street. but not that far into the trappings of Bourbon Street, I can tell you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so long as you think so.
Nah, I did not rip anything off of doors, at least that I don't remember, so it didn't happen.
I got there and you said, these guys are Butler fans. They bought me six
Don't
spare
break
hats.
Out your Bob Irsay for this.
I never been to Azarona. I never been to Azarona.
This segment of the show, unfortunately for them, brought to you by Chateau Kitchens.
What are you hanging me for?
I don't know if they wanted to sponsor our drunk Bourbon Street story for the 100 millionth time on this program. Chateau Kitchens, home and remodeling, the premier provider of residential cabinetry and home remodeling services in Indianapolis. Jake's got some of their swag right there for you. If you go to ChateauKitchens.com, you can also follow them on Instagram at Chateau Kitchens. And Facebook, you can see some of the before and after pictures at my house with Ashley. They did just an amazing job. It's the best thing that we ever did to our house. Having Stephen Moore and his team there at Chateau come in and renovate our kitchen. And we
it
just
looks
love
so
the space.
Good that I was actually willing to go to Derek's house
That's
to
right.
see it.
We love the space, and it's really kind of changed everything for us in our house. So have them help you out with whatever your project is, whether it's a bathroom remodel, even they could do anything that's interior in the home for you at Chateau Kitchens.
Are they the ones that put in the second shower head for you?
No, that predated them.
Why did you have two shower heads?
Well, you want me to answer that question?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
This show's making me uncomfortable today. I'm not really comfortable with the topics on today's show.
Okay.
We'll come back and make it more PG.
Let's talk about Congdon's and Jimmy's and all kinds of
stuff. It's a donut shop, all right?
Okay.
Like we talked about maturity with NBA fans, you need some maturity as well.
Okay.
All right. Need some of that too.
Sure.
Love that play coming up. Bide or bull bleep coming up as well. And possibly the end of press conferences? We'll have to see. Question mark. It's called the tease. Quarian Schultz, ISC Sports Network. We're just doomed today.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
Indiana dairy farmers provide us with safe, pure foods for our tables. A responsibility that takes intuition, resolve, and determination to make sure their milk is good for you and delicious to taste. Their connection with our community runs deep, passed down through the generations, ensuring that milk is always available at your store. It's not easy being a dairy farmer, but the rewards have special meaning when you can feed Indiana's families every single day. Learn more at winnersdrinkmilk.com.
At Bailey & Wood, we pride ourselves on our five-star customer service. But at our core, we're a family. Family-owned and family to our customers, staff, and our community. From charity events to recognizing hometown heroes, we prioritize giving back to our communities that have always supported our growth. So let us help you get your dream home today.
That's good milk. I wanted to kind of sip on mine. Are we back? Hi, it's Quarian Schultz.
Yeah, sip mine.
ISC Sports Network, thanks so much for tuning us in today. Whether you're watching on YouTube or ISC Sports Network, or perhaps you are listening via podcast form, all major platforms, thanks so much for supporting the show.
You knew who had a birthday within the last week?
I do, because I saw their tweet about it.
Yep.
Chris and John Love.
That is
correct. Love twins.
Love Heating and Air Conditioning, been around since 1920. Chris and John Love, happy birthday to both, have been dear friends of mine for not all of those 101 years, but pretty darn close, 40 plus. But Love Heating and Air, they're going to treat you not only like great friends, but family as well. Love-HVAC.com. Family-owned business for over 100 years in Indianapolis, serving the greater Indianapolis area. How do you last that long? Knowledge of product, of course, goes without saying. Product itself, great product that works. And, of course, integrity. Great prices, 24-hour maintenance. That's how you last that long. Love-HVAC.com, 317-353-2141. They bring the love that play, the greatest play of the week. Derek, your nomination is...
I actually just mentioned his name because I thought he might have been your winner of the week, but I don't think we can pick any... Elio climbing the fence was number one. Okay, I'll give you that. But the second greatest moment, and one of the best moments, I think, of the last... 10 years probably in the Indianapolis 500 was the crowd response when Connor Daly took the lead. Noblesville kid, and it's very rare that you hear audible, especially on the broadcast, from the fans because it's so loud.
Correct.
You know what I mean? And the times that I remember the crowd going just ballistic, 05 when Danica took the lead. I've only been attending races this century. Elio winning, obviously, and that whole celebration, and then the Connor Daly pass. And it's too bad that basically, as he put on Twitter, a tire falling out of the sky ended his day.
Right.
But that's the blessing and the curse of this race, right? Everything has to go right for you. And I'm not sure Daly would have won the race, but he would have been in the mix. He would have been in the mix. And but just to say that you led the most laps at the Indianapolis 500, not a lap, you know, Bertrand Baguette's led laps. You know what I mean? Like, he led the most laps in the race. I think that's special.
No, you're right. Led 40 laps, and it was loud. I mean, he came around, and I just remember, like, looking down at the crowd. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I mean, they went to a rousing ovation. U.S. Air Force, Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, the whole deal. The mullet.
He does have a pretty good mullet.
The whole deal.
Yeah. So I'm with that. I'm cool with that, to give it to Connor Daly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for Ed Carpenter Racing, three good cars, no doubt about it.
Carpenter was another one. He finished fifth. And I'm like, I didn't think about him all day.
I know.
But that's kind of been Ed's.
Now, I wanted to
not problem, but that's kind of been Ed's, like, not even legacy. His MO during this race is that he's always there. He just never really is in contention at the end, it feels like. Even though he's had runner-ups and podiums and all of that.
I kind of saw it as a missed opportunity that I didn't send it out, the tweet saying that Bitcoin car started really strong and then just kind of gradually over the course of the race, right?
Was that Renus?
Yeah.
Yeah. I really thought Renus was, especially the first half of the race, was going to be there in the end. And he still had a good day. I think he finished eighth or ninth or something.
Eighth, I think.
Seventh or eighth, something like that. I think he finished in between Sage and Ferrucci, if I'm not mistaken. And look, all these guys, Peloto, Herta, Pato, the next 10, 12, 15 years, we're going to be talking about being in contention. I wouldn't be surprised if all four of them someday
and McLaughlin
could call themselves an Indianapolis 500 champion. Yeah.
I mean, he's already driving for Penske.
And that was what was so cool about Sunday as well, Jake, the mix of old and new. And it's just that right now the series, and I'm not saying this, you know, I'm not an employee, so you don't have to, you know, take my what I'm saying here with a grain of salt like you have to do with Jake. It's an embarrassment of riches as far as the series is concerned with the talent. It's incredible. Now, we can sit here and say, well, the heyday of the 500 was the 70s and 80s. Look, I'm not trying to dispute the peak level. But when you talk about the middle of the field and the depth of the field, there's nothing like it's been right now.
Well, the other thing you have, I talked about this with Greg Rakestraw on the post-race, the golden era, A.J. Foyt, Johnny Rutherford, Bobby Unser, Rick Mears, you know, they all retired within like an 8-year window of each other. And then you had the split. So you had this rip off the Band-Aid, and all of a sudden it was, who is this Helio and this Dixon? Who are these guys? And it took a while to get to know those guys, right? Now you have a natural intermix that then does a gradual handing of the torch, right? So it's pretty cool.
I mean, I remember one of the races we were pulling off of the IndyStar front page. You know, you rip off the drivers, and a buddy of mine got upset, and he threw it on the ground, and he said, Dario Franch, not Keedy,
but
because we didn't know what his name was,
right? We're on cable, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I don't want to.
Okay.
I might technically be allowed to say it. Certainly in podcast form, you're allowed to say it, but no, I'm not going to.
Okay.
I'm not going to put it out there. I dropped an F-bomb in my Indie Monthly article, though.
Really?
Yeah.
You're getting edgy.
I edited it myself, and then Derek Robertson, the editor over there, said, just leave it in. It's good. Yeah. Just say it.
My mom would disapprove.
Say what you mean. Yeah.
My dad would tell me that's a sign of lack of intellect.
I just wanted to lay the emphasis on something that I was trying to portray, that last year's race wasn't the real Indianapolis 500. This was a 2-year wait that we had.
You needed the F-bomb to say
it?
Yeah,
I needed an F-bomb to say it.
Sometimes
I have to get my point across.
Who are you F-bombing? COVID?
No, not really anybody in particular. I was just throwing it out there.
You just random fits of anger.
You didn't read my article?
Like George Carlin.
Click on everything that I write. It's great. It's actually really bad, and they make it sound great because we have editors over there, so it's awesome.
Okay.
I'm doing a lot of different things now. I want to, like I said, my dream, my goal is to hit all five of the senses. I want you to see me, hear me, feel me, taste me with hot cup of Schultze. What am I missing? Smell me. We're still working on the cologne.
Yeah, I know.
We're still working on that.
I'm the cologne guy here.
That kind of fell apart when we got laid off.
I don't mind you getting any sort of thing, but if there's ever a Query or Schultz cologne, that's going to be me because cologne's my thing.
I know. I have a natural musk, but I want to put that musk in a bottle.
Okay.
And instead of hot cup of Schultze, it'd be hot scent of Schultze.
Okay. Are we doing Biden or Bull Schultz next? Because I think you having a musk is Bull Schultz.
But first, we want to mention our friends at Bailey & Wood Financial Group one more time. BAWFG.com, Indiana's hometown mortgage
leader. You know what I remember? 855-350, right?
Yeah, 350.
Home.
There you go. 5-star customer service. They're going to do a great job for you. Don't go to one of these national companies and Rocket Mortgage or whatever else. Don't do that. Stay home in Indiana. And these people know, obviously they know the market, but they care about you. And, you know, my relationship with Mike Wood goes back 12 years. He's more than just my mortgage guy. He's a friend and a big Dolphins fan and a big Cubs fan as well. So check him out online. BAWFG.com. Get that pre-approval if you're in the home market. Also 855-350-HOME. I still have to think about it because I'm like, wait, 855 and home, and now I'm starting to get the 350s coming back to me.
I told you. It's very easy to remember.
13 Indiana locations. We'll come back by
855-350 home.
From our friends at the shop, They had a big day on Sunday with a lot of their favorites running well, including Connor. And we'll wrap up on episode, what is this, 38?
Yeah, that's right.
Corey and Schultz here on ISC Sports Network.
You can't get enough of us. Good one, J-Man.
This is the worst scandal. This might
this
even
is
be
worse than steroid. Not so fast.
Are you going to watch the XFL?
I'll probably watch a little bit of it.
You want to go through and pick some games?
No, I don't. I really don't.
At an Indiana dairy farm, long work days stretch into more labor after sunset. A newborn calf needs watching. Barn needs cleaning. Tractor needs some handiwork for tomorrow's tasks. Just like in your own home, the day's chores are never done until the family beds down for the night. Dairy farmers and their families share the same dream with all of us, that what we all do is worthwhile. Bringing to market pure, safe, and healthy dairy foods is what they do. From Indiana's dairy families to ours every single day. Learn more at winnersdrinkmilk.com.
Oh my God!
We are ripping fast today.
And how hard can it be, right?
These are now selling for about $3,500. So we're back to our old ways of pulling rocks.
Act like idiots on camera, open cards, and talk about the hobby.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. One you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
Welcome back to Query and Schultz. We put a bow tie on this one. Episode 38 coming to a close. We are in turn four of it. Want to thank The Shop Indy. TheShopIndy.com. Of course, 920 Broderpal Avenue, as well as Clay Terrace. For your vintage shopping t-shirt needs or just current fabulous quality t-shirts, but all of your favorite sports teams as well as pop culture around Indianapolis, The Shop Indy, including the old mini marathon shirts that they have.
I miss the old logos. I know that everybody's going generic now, Super Bowl, Final Four, all that, but I miss the old, like, unique Indianapolis 500
cool.
logos.
There's the 1991 Indy 500 t-shirt,
with
man.
The diamond on it. That's
those were the days.
For 75,
the
that's really cool.
Jubilee edition.
Yeah, really, really cool.
Time for Buy It or Bull Schultz. Derek makes a statement, and I say whether I buy it or consider it to be Bull Schultz.
Statement one, we will never see a four-time winner of the Indianapolis 500 ever again. Buy it or bull bleep.
Hard to say because
that means our lifetime. So you 10, 15 years, me 25, 30 years. Yeah.
10, 15. I'd be happy with that. There have been four, and strangely enough, all four have completed the four wins in my lifetime. But look, it took 30 to get the last 30 years, right?
Yeah.
Now you got to figure it took 10 after that. For Elio to even get his first, for anybody to even start, right? Mm-hmm. I think Frank Keady could have come close. Here's the challenge, Derek. Of the young drivers that are really young that have a chance, VK, Pato, Herta. Herta seems like he would have the most long-term stability within the series. I get the impression Pato and Rinus VK, at the first opportunity, would go to Europe. So I don't know if they're in the running. Rossi already has the one,
yeah.
But he's closing in on 30 now. He'd have to have basically three in a decade.
After really contending the first couple of years, he's had a lot of bad luck couple of years.
So if Rossi were to go to Penske, nothing against Andretti Autosport, but it just seems like Lady Luck had been on his side. If there was somebody who had two or three that was running right now, you know, I know Sato's got two. Montoya's got two.
But those guys are at the end more than the beginning, yeah, or middle.
I will say that that's the last four-time winner I see in my lifetime.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it has a lot to do with the competition level in the series,
that
too.
Yeah.
You know, if this was 15 years ago, it'd be a little bit different when you had, you know, seven or eight drivers and three teams that could possibly win this thing,
To be fair, the circumstances that allowed Castroneves his first three in a decade, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So, I think it's a testament to just how hard it is to win this race twice, much less four times.
Right.
I mean, you got to double – you think of all the great two-time winners of this race, and you got to double that output. It's crazy. The Suns will eliminate the Lakers because of Anthony Davis's groin injury. Game five is tonight. Bite or bull bleep. I think the winner tonight wins the series. So, it's as simple as that.
I never rule out LeBron James. And Chris Paul, has he ever been to a conference final?
I think he's been to one now, but you might be right. I don't know. I thought he went to one, but I might be wrong.
No,
for a while he hadn't.
I'll say Lakers win.
Okay. I thought he went to one. I'm trying to think if he did. I agree with you. I still think the Lakers. I think it's a coin flip, but like 51-49 Lakers still leaning that way. I actually don't have a third for Bite or Bull Bleep. I couldn't think of anything else.
Derek did not properly and adequately prepare for this segment.
I couldn't think of anything else. Yeah, usually I try to take like a pop culture thing or something like that, but I couldn't really think of anything.
Okay, how about this?
You're going to contribute something to the show? That's rare.
There were at least five winners in the 105th Indy 500 who will eventually get at least a first Indy 500 win.
There are at least five different drivers who will eventually win. Okay. Because I think Newgarden will eventually win one.
Okay.
So there's one. I think it's safe to say that I'm going to take Pillow and say that he's going to win one too. You know, the thing with F1, Jake, is that there's so little room at the end for anybody. And if you don't come up all the way in Europe, then a lot of times they look at you like, well, what are you doing? I'm not taking you. You've just been in America for 5 years or whatever else. So I'll take one of Herta or Award. I'm trying to think of anybody else. For a long time, I thought Ray Hall would eventually win one, and now I just wonder if he's just like cursed out there or what. You know what? If you set the over-under at 4.5, I would take the under. So, no, I'm going to say Bull Bleep. I don't think there are going to be five people that have not won one yet that will eventually win one that ran on Sunday.
Here's what's the curveball. It all depends kind of on where Alex Pillow goes. Alex Pillow could end up being Frank Keady, or he could end up being Carlos Munoz or Ed Jones, where they came out of the box and were good right away. And then if you get moved off of that team and he ends up back at Dale Coyne or something like that,
Jones, another Mr. Irrelevant. I didn't think about him all day.
Totally.
Yeah.
McLaughlin is going to win one.
Yeah.
Because he's 24, he's a rookie of the year, and he's driving for
Penske.
That's
a great candidate that
he's already with Penske,
that I hadn't thought of.
Ray Hall, I really thought it was Graham's year, man. I did.
It was until it wasn't. I mean, that's kind of the beauty of the race.
It's a cool-looking car, that United Rentals car. Cool-looking car.
I mean, is there anybody else that I'm missing that
– did you say VK?
Oh, we kind of mentioned him originally. I didn't actually credit him with one, but I think he could get one for sure.
Ferrucci. If he keeps coming back.
Maybe. Yeah.
That dude's fearless, man. Fearless.
I just like how he POs everybody, which is
he does.
It's such a gentlemanly
they
series,
need Ferrucci,
you know what I mean?
Man.
You need an antagonist. And I'm not saying that I'm not always going to defend what he does out there, but
he
you
is
need kind of an antagonist.
Fearlessly fast, man. Yeah. Fearlessly
and he's
fast.
Been that. And, you know, he's got talent. Say what you want about him, but he's a talented kid.
Yeah.
Connecticut, you know. I know a little bit something about that.
Okay.
A little bit. This is a good show today. I felt like it flew by. Oh, we were going to mention press conferences. Can we mention that just real quick? That Naomi Osaka bowed out of the French Open, signing mental illness, and, of course, all the, you know, the typical media people, old white guy jocks. we've talked about how press conferences are kind of trivial and dumb. But I'll be honest, Jake, I'm not real comfortable. Like, some people are saying, well, we should just abolish press conferences or only athletes show up if they want to. And I'm thinking to myself, well, then nobody's going to show up.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and I feel like, am I the person to say this because technically I have my foot in the media camp? Like, does that make me biased discussion?
The thing about press conferences, I will say now, Derek, because of social media – I'm not saying they're becoming irrelevant, but for a long time, that was the vehicle, the liaison between athlete to fan, to be able to speak to fans, get their message across to fans, for sponsors to be able to get their name out there. Now, you know, do you need to wait or do you need to watch afterwards to see what an athlete had to say after a game when you can actually 90% of the time the conversation of what they say is from what they sent on their phone?
On Instagram, yeah.
Right.
I will say this. I think we should forever ban – the locker room stuff in the immediate post game. It's always been weird to me that a bunch of us charge in there while guys are getting out of the shower and are sticking microphones in their faces. So what do you think? Hey, you know, the most devastating loss of your life just happened 30 minutes ago. Tell me, what do you think? Come on. You know, what are they supposed to say? You know, I can understand why they'd be upset with that. But the press conferences is weird because I'm saying that I want to keep them while also making fun of them relentlessly.
Right.
You know what I mean? But especially for TV people, I mean, TV needs the sound bites. They can't.
You're right.
You can't have a sports package with no press conferences.
That's true.
What would you do?
You'd relay what they said on Twitter.
Kind of a rough couple of days for some of our friends in TV. But that has a lot more to do with ownership than anything else.
Correct.
Well, some of the graphics and, you know, you farm that stuff out and that's what or you leave it up to people in the news department and that's what ends up happening.
You have people making executive decisions about local news that have no local connection and thus don't know what works. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
You have consultants come in. Well, I really like this guy from here. Okay, man.
Correct.
He has no idea what he's doing, but all right. We always have an idea of what we're doing. That's why we've been here for 38 episodes, and we're going to do 3,800 of these.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Aquarian Schultz.
But we begin by simply making it to 39.
That's right. That'll be next week. Right? Thanks to our crew, Jordan, Jake. Ray came a little bit late, but he was still here offering emotional support, which we appreciate. And you can catch us on AquarianSchultz.com, all of our comings and goings. Things are going to slow down for Jake because he becomes a lot less relevant in the 11
that
months
true.
That aren't
that the
month
is true.
Of May.
I'm back to looking for a job.
But anything that we've got popping, AquarianSchultz.com or Aquarian Schultz Facebook page, you can follow us there. Also at Schultz975 and at Jake Query on Twitter. Until next time, Jake, we'll see you later. It's been Aquarian Schultz, ISC Sports Network. Bye.
Wood, we pride ourselves on our 5-star customer service, but at our core, we're a family. Family owned and family to our customers, staff, and our community. From charity events to recognizing hometown heroes, we prioritize giving back to our communities that have always supported our growth. So let us help you get your dream home today.
Oh, my God.
We are ripping fast today.
And how hard can it be, right?
These are now selling for about $3,500. So we're back to our old ways of pulling rocks.
Act like idiots on camera, open cards, and talk about the hobby.
Your life is on the go. Now your viewing habits can be on the go. With the ISC Sports Network app, your team is at your fingertips. You can download years worth of content from the ISC Sports Network library. High school, college, special events, weekly and monthly shows, wherever you find your favorite app. And you can always find out more information at iscsportsnetwork.com.
You're watching Query and Schultz on the ISC Sports Network.
Your life is on the go. Now your viewing habits can be on the go. With the ISC Sports Network app, your team is at your fingertips. You can download years worth of content from the ISC Sports Network library. High school, college, special events, weekly and monthly shows, wherever you find your favorite app. And you can always find out more information at iscsportsnetwork.com.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
At Bailey & Wood, we pride ourselves on our 5-star customer service. But at our core, we're a family. Family owned and family to our customers, staff, and our community. From charity events to recognizing hometown heroes, we prioritize giving back to our communities that have always supported our growth. So let us help you get your dream home today.
Your life is on the go. Now your viewing habits can be on the go. With the ISC Sports Network app, your team is at your fingertips. You can download years worth of content from the ISC Sports Network library. High school, college, special events, weekly and monthly shows, wherever you find your favorite app. And you can always find out more information at iscsportsnetwork.com.